Blog Talk Radio.
It feels so good to make it this far. And I didn't think I could take it so long. There were days I wanted to quit, and I said, surely this is it. But I held on. And I've watched as so-called friends turned and walked away. And it hurt so much I didn't have words to say. But even when my day turns to night and nothing seems just right, Lord, I thank you for my life. For my life, Lord, I thank you for every victory in you I've seen, and all the moments I know, Lord, it was you who kept me. So I thank you for my life. And I've watched you take my family from there to here. And when times were a little rough, God, I know you were near. Thank you, Jesus. And the moments I thought I fell, I was reminded of your nails. So I held on. And if I never live to see another day, there's nothing I would change or take away. I've had so many ups that they far outweigh my downs. Lord, I thank you for my life. For my life, Lord, I thank you for every victory in you I've seen. Lord, I know I almost went crazy. Yeah. Oh, but I'm still here. Oh, with my life. So, for my life, Lord, I thank you for every victory in you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for my life. It may not be all that I'd hoped for, and every dream has not yet been realized. But to see your face one day, it's all gonna be worth it. Yeah, yeah, Lord. So I thank you for, thank you for every mountain, every valley, God, everything that you brought. thank you for. I know it was you, God. I just wanna take the time to say thank you, Jesus, for my life.
I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually in my mouth. I don't know about you all today, but that song said, dear God, if I was giving out stellar awards today, Smoke, it would be at the top of my list, because I love that song. Dear God, I thank you for my life. Is there anybody out there that thank God for their life on today? Is it anybody out there felt like you were at your wit's end and you didn't know way to go, didn't know which way to go? You didn't know where to turn to. Friends had turned their back on you. There was not a family member there to encourage you. And you just felt like all hope was lost. Oh, but I'm here to tell you today that God stepped on in. God will come in your weakest moment, and he'll pick you up. And that's why the songwriter and the psalmist say, I thank you for my life. How many know if the Lord be with you, he's more than the world is against you? Oh, I'm excited about what God is doing. Hallelujah. When I think on his goodness and what he's done for me, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, you should be saying that today. When you look back and think on where God brought you from, when I think about I'm in the United States, I'm in the land of the free, in America, where my rights are privileged. You know, I have the right to vote. Hallelujah. I'm not in any enslavement camps. Hey, I'm not in prison on today. How many of you all have been set free? You know, the prisons just don't have to be a jail cell in the natural realm, but in the physical realm, in the spirit realm, you can be bound and chained. But I thank God for the blood of Jesus on today. He freed us 2,000 years ago. He died on Calvary's cross for you and I to have a right to the tree of life. Oh, God said he would give us life and that more abundantly. I praise him on the day, and I thank him for each and every one of you. And we once again like to greet you in the matchless, awesome, magnanimous name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. The Bible says at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. So you better bow down now. Hallelujah. You better bow down now. Don't wait till Jesus make you bow down. Bow down now and worship the Lord. So we thank you for tuning in to New Destiny Ministries, a time of reflection. We're going to have a Holy Ghost good time on this line today, because he that the Son set free is free indeed. We bless him on today. Again, you're listening to a time of reflection. We air Monday through Friday, and we alternate on Saturdays at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, 3 p.m. Central Time, and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our call-in number, if you're listening on the archives right now and you want to participate in this live discussion on today, you can call in. Our call-in number is area code 858-683-1334. Once again, that's area code 858-683-1334. 683-1334. We welcome you to come on this broadcast and share the word of God with us on this evening. Amen. Our email address is new, N-E-W, Destiny, D-E-S-T-I-N-Y, 54 at yahoo.com. Once again, that's New Destiny 54 at yahoo.com. We welcome your praise reports. It's always a pleasure to hear from the people of God. It's always a pleasure to hear from God's people, because all of us are God's people. Those that choose to serve Him and those that don't, we all belong to the Lord. Amen. So we welcome your praise reports and any stories that you would like to share with us, how God has done something miraculous in your life. We invite you to email us or call in. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 5702, Stockton, California. Once again, that's P.O. Box 5702, Stockton, California, 95205. Amen. Once again, we ask you to let the Lord touch your heart. Sow a financial seed into this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel. By way of announcements, we just want to let you know to mark your calendars again. Save these dates. We will have our flyer hopefully by the end of this week and our postcards out to you all. We want to invite you to a True Fellowship Conference. This is our True Fellowship Conference 2012, and our theme is Let Brotherly Love Continue, and we will be holding this conference at Christ Redeeming Center, where the pastor is none other than Dr. Kenneth E. Burford, and that address is 2281 East Main Street, in the city of Stockton, California, 95205. We have a host of conference speakers that will be speaking for you on that in that 2-day event. We have Dr. Winston Singleton. He's a district elder and associate pastor from Los Angeles, California. We have Dr. Kenneth Burfa, who will be hosting at his church. We have Pastor Ashton Adams from the Circle of Love Ministry. We have Prophetess Cheryl Harrison from Healing and Compassion and Prayer Ministries. And we have another host of speakers that will be coming to you during that 2-day event. You don't want to miss the business opportunity meeting that's going to be presented by none other than our senior vice president and one of our favorite evangelists on this broadcast. That's none other than Doris Campbell Cumble. She will be presenting a business opportunity that you don't want to miss, especially if you are a pastor and you have parishioners in your church. You don't want to miss this awesome business opportunity meeting. So I tell you, we have a host of things prepared for you. We're talking about true fellowship. True fellowship. We're not coming together to debate and argue. We're coming together to lift up the name of Jesus in spirit and in truth. Amen, amen. And won't nobody be mad but the enemy. And guess what? We're going to put him to a flight. Amen, amen. So we just thank God for what he's doing in our lives. Again, we're always excited about coming on to this broadcast. I tell you, this broadcast will give you life. It will encourage you. It will inspire you. And it will empower you to pursue your destiny. How many know we have a destiny to pursue? We have a destiny, and that destiny is in Jesus Christ. Amen. But we're going to move on. We didn't have anybody scheduled today. I had some people that say they would call in today, and we're just going to open this up for some discussion on today. Let me see if Evangelist Doris can open up with the word of prayer for us on today. Evangelist Doris?
Yes, amen.
Amen, amen. Can you open with prayer for us?
Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are gathered here again today in your presence. God, we know in your presence there is power. In your presence, there is protection. There, in your presence, there is love. So, Father, Lord, we come to you today, this afternoon, to be in your presence. Father, we thank you for even the opportunity granted unto us to allow us to be in your presence. Father, Lord, take control of this broadcast today, O God. Open the minds of your children to receive your word. Open the minds because your word is food for the soul. Father, we thank you this afternoon. We are here to praise your holy name. No other name above the earth and beneath the earth, O God, is like yours. Father, we thank you. We know that if we worship you, you said in your word, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that is in it shall belong to us. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you this afternoon for the opportunity to be in your presence. We are here to seek you first, because everything else that we need on this earth will be okay as long as we seek you first. We thank you. You own the earth, you own the heaven. Everything is in it, you own it. But you said you created us in your image. Because we are created in your image, Father, you want us to prosper. So, Father, dear Lord, we come to you this afternoon to praise you, even in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you. I tell you, I've had so, you know, you can never get enough of prayer. We've had so much prayer on today, and not boasting, but just thanking God that he allow us to pray. Amen. The Bible said men should always pray and not faint. And he said pray without ceasing. So prayer is always in order. And I thank God for being on the line with Evangelist Doris on today on the prayer line that she has. Excuse me, designated for her prayer, her business partners in her business. And, you know, I was led to call in there today and just had a wonderful time lifting up the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. So we're going to go. We've been discussing our topic. We've had some people, and I want you all to continue to pray for Sister Ruby, continue to pray for Evangelist Joshua. She's been taking care of some things with her family, and also hadn't been feeling real well. So she haven't abandoned us. You know, when you have pressing family issues and family challenges that you have to deal with, that take precedent over some of the other things. So she has not abandoned us or forsaken us, and we thank God for Sister Ruby. She's still a supporter of this broadcast. We're just asking God to strengthen her to come on back on this line and to be encouraged, and God, that God will continue to encourage her heart. Amen. We thank God for all of you all that has been faithful. We appreciate your faithfulness. Please know that your faithfulness is going to be rewarded, because you're not being faithful to Sister Bernard, but you're being faithful to the Lord. See, God orchestrates our lives. He orchestrates our day. And when we do things that's pleasing to the Lord, God will always reward us. He said he's a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. And I think everybody that dial in and come on this broadcast, they're seeking the Lord. They're seeking the face of the Lord. Dr. Burford said, we've never seen God's face, but we know when we say those words, we're seeking his face. That don't mean we're seeking to look upon his face, but we're seeking what his will is for our life. What is his instructions? What would he have us to do? Which way would he have us to go? That's what we mean when we're talking about seeking the face of God. So today we just want to talk a little bit, and as the time progresses, as people come on the line, we'll open up the lines to them. We want to just talk a little bit again about our topic. We're talking about generational curses. Are they real? In my mind, I think last week, a week before last, I may have went to a passage of scripture, and the Lord is leading me to go back to this passage of scripture on today. But before I do that, amen, we just want to thank the Lord again for all of our callers that is on the line. I see another caller that just joined us, and let me see who that is right quick. Amen. It's area code 510, and the last four of your number is 5790. Can you greet us, caller?
Hello, this is Sister Doris.
Amen. Who is this?
Who is this?
Sister Bernie Dorton.
Hi, Lord have mercy. We got some power on this line today. Well, God bless you, my Sister, woman of God, this is Evangelist Bernie Dorton. And I tell you, oh, Lord, she's a powerful woman of God. She comes on, she comes on Sunday, alternate on Sunday with the women ministry, with Circle of Love, and that's none other with the host, Pastor Adams. And we love this woman of God. I tell you, when she opened up her mouth, you can feel the anointing of God. You can feel the presence of God on her life. Amen. And we're just so happy to have her. This is her first time on the line, and we are just excited about having her here with us on today. And I'm just going to give you a little bit what the Lord has given me, and I've already told her what our topic is about, and I want to bring her to us on today. So give me just a few minutes, Evangelist Bernie Dorton. Hallelujah. She lives in Northern California. I tell you, I just love it. I love it. I love it when God take control. See, this ain't about me. This is about God. But as I was sitting here today, and as I said earlier, I brought you this passage of scripture earlier, maybe last week or week before last, and we're talking about generational curses. Are they real? So turn quickly to Genesis chapter 49, and I tell you, I'm going to bring this awesome woman of God to give us what the Lord is saying. And I know this is last minute, but she's always ready and prepared to speak about what thus say the Lord. Amen. So it says chapter 49, and we're going to just read down to verse 7. Amen. And it says, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. We all know that this was Jacob, and he was going on off the scene, and he was giving a blessing, and he was telling also his sons what was going to befall them. He knew each and every one of them. He knew their spirit. He knew all about them. Amen. So he said, gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength. He was the eldest son. He said the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. How many know in the beginning God will put his excellence in our spirit? He'll give us dignity, and that's what Jacob was telling Reuben. He said, and the excellence of power was in you. He said, unstable as water. That's what he said about Reuben. He said, thou shalt not excel. Listen at that. He's telling his sons what's going to befall them. Amen. He said, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed. He took one of his father's concubines. Amen. So you have to read those stories for yourself. Then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Okay, but these are the ones that I want you to focus on. Verse 5 says, Simeon and Levi are brethren. These were Leah's children. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Verse 6 says, O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor. Be not thou ununited. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Verse 7 says, this is Jacob telling Simeon and Levi what's going to befall them. He said, cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. So he telling them in their anger, and I don't have time to go to the story, but read the story on how the king's son had defiled Simeon and Levi's sister Dinah. Hallelujah. And this is what Jacob is telling them. Because of their anger, being so fierce, and because of their wrath, he said it was cruel. So he said, because of that, he said, I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So Jacob was telling Simeon and Levi that their tribes were going to be scattered because of what they did. Because, yes, the king's son raped their daughter, their sister Dinah. But what happened with that story, again, and the Lord just lead me here, I don't know who this for, but it's for somebody. In their wrath, because they were angry, because they were cruel, because they had another ulterior motive. See, this king's son, he told them, he said, he went to his father after he, well, of course, he went after the crime was committed. But the Bible says he was more honorable than them, okay? He went to his father and he said, Father, I want this girl. I want this Jewish girl. He said, I'm in love with her. But the father knew what had happened. But the father communed with Jacob and all of his sons, and in a sense, they were repenting. The king was repenting for the evil that his son had done, okay? But in the midst of that, when they went to commune and to make things right, they went to reason with Jacob and his sons, and they asked, could Dinah marry his son? And Dinah, she had no say in the matter. And you can find this story in Genesis chapter 34. But what I love about the Lord said, the curse of the Lord is at the house of the wicked. So when they made an agreement, Simeon and Levi told the king and his son, say, now, guess what? We can't marry one another because you all are uncircumcised. But he said, if you all circumcise every male of your land, of all the inhabitants of the land, they said, then we will allow our women to marry your men, and we'll allow the males to marry our daughters. Hallelujah. But what these wicked men, the sons of Jacob, Simeon, and Levi, what they did, they waited until the third day when the men of that city was laying sore because of the circumcision. They didn't have no strength. They didn't have no might. They weren't able to go to war. They weren't able to battle. So what these evil two sons did, wickedness. See, God is against wickedness. That's why the curse is still upon us, because when man had an opportunity to honor God, he did not do it. He said, when they knew me, they didn't reverence me as God. He said, and then I turned them over. Amen. So let me tell you something. God always sends you a warning. It's always warning before destruction. And these two wicked sons, Simeon and Levi, went into that camp, and they slaughtered all of the males. They slaughtered them. And God was angry with them. And their father became angry. And the father, Jacob, said, you all have made me to stink among the inhabitants of the land. He said, now everywhere we go, they're going to hear about this dirty deed you all have done. And the Bible said, let's turn there quickly. The Bible said, let's go to where Shechem. Let's go to chapter 34 of the book of Genesis. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I bless you today. Let's turn to verse 18. It says, and their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter. And he, listen to this latter clause. God is saying, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. He repented after he did that vile thing to Dinah. He loved Dinah. He wanted to marry Dinah. Hallelujah. And he petitioned them. But I tell you, when you have wickedness in your camp, you will not prosper. And I spoke that today as I prayed on Sister Doris' prayer line. You can't trample over me to get to the top. Hallelujah. You can't go to the CEO until you went through rank and file. There's rank and file in every organization. You just don't walk up in that door and say, I'm going to see the CEO. Can't nobody get to the president. There's a chain of command, and you have to follow that chain of command. Hallelujah. And this boy went to his father, and he said, Father, I love this girl. I want to marry her. Let me go. Let's go and make a pact. Let's go and make a covenant with the people and Jacob and his sons. Hallelujah. But these devils, these two sons, went in there and slew those men. And Jacob was upset. So what happened was the Lord told Jacob, say, I saw what your sons have done. And he said, but I want you to go into the camp, and I want you to tell all the people to bring all the gold and bring all of their idols and put them before me. And he said, I want you to make an altar to me. I want you to make an altar, and after you've done that, what God was saying is remove the cursed things. So there are some cursed things that we have in our houses. There are some cursed things that we have in our lives, and we can't prosper until the cursed things are removed. He said, remove the cursed things. We have to remove these cursed things out of our life, people, because we can't prosper as long as the cursed thing is still in our lives. Amen? So this is, so read that chapter 34 for yourself, and you'll get a better enlightenment of what God was doing. But I want to focus on what Jacob told him in chapter 49 in Genesis chapter 9. Simeon and Levi, your brothers, but you've been instruments of cruelty. Hallelujah. He said, cursed be their anger. See, he was cursing his own sons. You have to watch what you speak out your mouth. He was cursing them for because of their cruelty, because of their anger, what they did to the inhabitants of that land. They were wrong for that, and God was not pleased with it. And I tell you, people of God, if God is not pleased, you won't move forward. See, we want to bypass certain folks, and we want to go hook up with the president. Well, you can't hook up with the president. He just don't hook up with no anybody. You got to follow the obedience. You got to have to follow the instructions of God. God gives us some clear instructions. And we've been talking about Adam and Eve for 2 weeks now. We've been talking about how God cursed the earth. Some people say, well, when Jesus Christ came in, you know, when the curse was done away with. But again, as we said yesterday and as we've been saying, the curse is still upon us because we still, death is still reigning in the land. Disobedience is still reigning in the land. The spirit of murder is still in the land. The spirit of anger, the spirit of jealousy, the spirit of envy, all these spirits are still reigning in our mortal body. But this mortality, this immortality has to take on immortality. The Bible said when we see him, we shall be like him. We don't have our glorified bodies yet. So that means the curse is still in the earth. And if the curse is still in the earth, that means we are still susceptible to it. We're susceptible to the curse. But because of the blood of Jesus, when Jesus, see, we were drafted in this thing. I keep trying to say that, people of God. We were drafted in this thing. those that take on the name of Jesus, those that have been purchased back and redeemed by his blood, we are the sons of God. Hallelujah. And we don't suffer as the evildoer. We suffer and go through with grace. Because he said, this suffering, if we suffer as an evildoer, we're going to reign with Christ. He said, those that suffer with me, you're going to reign with me. So guess what? This light affliction that we're going through is only for a moment, baby. It's only for a moment. Hallelujah. But disobedience bring on curses. Disobedience, is as the spirit and rebellion is that the spirit of witchcraft. When we disobey God, and that's what happened over in Romans when the apostle spoke and said, when they knew me, when they knew God, they said, when you knew me, you didn't glorify me as God. You didn't glorify me. You didn't lift me up. You didn't honor me. You didn't respect me. Hallelujah. When we fail to honor God and we walk in disobedience, we open up ourselves to the curse. Because God is only going to honor and protect those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you have not been washed, let me encourage you on today. Let me encourage you on today. You better find somewhere where you can repent and you can get washed in the blood of the Lamb. And the curse won't be upon you. But the curse, this Bible says, the curse of the Lord is at the house of the wicked. Amen. And if you are wicked and if you are walking in disobedience, the curse be upon you. Hallelujah. So the Lord gave me that today, and I know I talked about this story earlier, but I can't get away from it. I don't know who's out there that is defiling themselves. I don't know who out there is contaminating their homes and their families with the cursed thing. But you better remove anything that's cursed. Remove it out of your home. Remove it out of your family. Remove it out of your job. Remove it out of your life. If you want the blessings of the Lord to flow in your life, remember, people, the blessings of the Lord make it rich and add it no sorrow. The blessings of the Lord make it rich and add it no sorrow. We're going now to Evangelist Bernie Thornton. Oh, God, I'm just so happy today. God always have a ram in the bush. He always have somebody that's going to call upon his name. I see Evangelist Lucilla on the line, too. Hallelujah. I'm going to open up this line right now. We're talking about generational curses, people. Are they real? Don't let nobody tell you that the curse of the land, in the land, has been taken away because of Jesus Christ. He said, now there's no more condemnation to those that don't, and to those that don't, hallelujah, those that walk in the law. You got to live this thing, people of God. You can't just talk it. You got to live it. God, the curse is not upon those that obey and those that are in the will of God. But God cursed the earth, and that curse has not been lifted. God did not stop us from women from having a pain in childbearing. God did not stop the dead angel from visiting folks. So as long as death, pain, and sorrow is in the land, that means the curse is still raining, but it don't have to rain in your life. God bless you, Evangelist Bernie.
Amen, amen. What a blessing.
Hallelujah.
What a blessing. First, give an honor to God. Hallelujah, the creator of heaven and earth and the sea below. This is an astonishing study, because I was just talking and thinking with my master, and I said, Lord, how do we break the generational curses? Hallelujah. Because we know it came in the beginning, hallelujah, and it'll reign to the end until the second coming of Jesus Christ. And a phenomenal thing happened when the Spirit dropped it in my spirit. It said you break the curses by obeying God. Just like the curses came from disobedience, you break it from obedience. Come on, somebody. I said, oh, God, that's good. He said, now, there is generation curses, because I will curse you to the third and fourth generation. So
come
the Bible had me go on, and I thought about that thing. I said, so everybody that's on this line, I think we should take a generational evaluation.
Mm.
That's from grandmama to your mama to your nieces and nephews. Come on, somebody, we're going to do a generational cleansing by the power of the Holy Ghost. And what I mean by that, we look at my family. Take me as an example. I'll be the sacrificial lamb. I'm the living sacrifice. I look at my family. I look at my mother. I say, what is it in my mother that was cursed? Oh, matter of fact, let me go to my grandmother. I'm talking about Sister Bernie's family genealogy. Because God is all about genealogy. So I start with Ophelia Brown. I see my grandmother as a saint, a woman of God, a woman who studies to show herself approved, a woman who carries her sword of the Spirit. She's dead and deceased. A woman who prayed for us when we didn't pray for ourselves, who we wasn't walking in the light. Hallelujah. But then I look at her, well, what happened in grandmother's life? Well, you know, in those generations, they didn't let the young people hear about the things that were hidden in the closet, the skeletons in the closet. And we'll speak about that later, because those skeletons, they shouldn't be in the closet. They should be buried in the graveyard. So those skeletons were still in the closet. So my grandmother never was married.
Mm.
Well, you might say, that ain't bad. But she had three children.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all follow me? So that means that there was some fornication in the generation.
Come on.
And that means when I looked at my mother and them, she had three daughters. All three had different fathers.
Come on.
I said, well, nobody talked about that. I looked at my mother. She didn't look like her second sister, because she was the oldest, and the baby girl didn't look like the middle girl, and the oldest girl didn't look like any of them. She was light-skinned, the others were dark, their noses were different, but they took some of my grandmother's characteristics, because they all were short. So then I looked at my mother. Come on, somebody. And she's gone on to be with glory. And I said to myself, my mother was a woman of God. She followed God. She was obedient to God. She introduced me to God and blessed her soul. But then I thought, God, what is all these things coming up against our family for? But then my mother, that same generational curse, she was married. She had a daughter. That was good. But then she had me and my brother by my father. And I thought they were married. They weren't married. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I ain't never told nobody this, but the Holy Ghost told me I ain't even discussed this with my sister. Nor my brother. But you know how I found out that she wasn't married to my father after those 18 years? Because when my mother died, we had to have her birth certificate. And we had to have her marriage license. That's how it came up. And as I began to shift through things, my name was Witty, and then it was on some documents it was White, and then it was different. It was after her first husband's last name and then my father's last name. And then I start looking more, and I said, well, I can't find the wedding certificate, because there wasn't one. You know what I found? I found the God is so timely, saints. What you think you might be hiding, what you hide in the darkness, he brings to the light. What I found was God sent, he's so timely. At the time of her death, he sent her divorce paper from the first husband. That's how I knew they wasn't married. In order for me to get the, come on somebody, in order for me to get the money for her burial, I had to show her marriage certificate. But I got the divorce papers from the first husband. That's why I knew that she wasn't married to my father. Generational curses. Therefore, my mother was committing adultery. Now we have adultery, we have fornication to the second generation. Well, what happened to the third generation, my generation? Well, I look at my sister. She still had that, they call it, that's a sex demon, hallelujah, prostitution entity. You know what happens with these curses is that they begin to be multiple curses upon the people.
Come on, come on.
Now, this is from the first, the second, and the third generation, because, see, that sexual immorality still reigned through the third generation. Begin prostitution start entering in. Alcoholism start to enter in. Come on, somebody. Adultery still reigned over the generation, the third generation. Well, now I look at my children and my sister's children. Prostitution still enter in. Addiction is very prevalent now. Now what entity in that same sexual immorality, that same sexual demonic curse is homosexuality and gayness enters in. Because we never, hallelujah, we never looked at it as generational curse. We looked at it as an environmental hazard, but the devil is a lie. It's a generational curse.
Come
and
on.
Then when I started to examine myself, I said, Lord, you know, I deal with fornication. I ain't all that. Come on. That sexual temptation was still there. That's what God says in his word, that he wants us, he says, he wants our body to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service when you get saved. But see, I was not saved. Yet that curse reigns still in my generation, the genealogy, hallelujah. But then I begin to glean through the Holy Spirit. I say, what is it? Where did this demonic force come from, Lord? I'm trying to live right. He said, well, Bernie, I say these generational curses. I know they started with the first Adam in Genesis. There was a curse on the serpent. There was a curse on Adam. There was a curse on Eve. Hallelujah. By jealousy and deception. And then in that generation, from the first to the second, to when she had seed, I'm talking about Adam and Eve now.
Yes, yes.
Then homo, and then what happened was then homicide ended in because of anger. Hallelujah. And then murder. Hallelujah. We're taking it in our hands now. So these curses still reign, but I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters, we can, that's why God said we can pull down strongholds.
Come on.
These are strongholds. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and high places that has us captivated by these holes, and we don't even know where these forces are coming from. But let me tell you, my brother and my sisters, I took a generational washing and I took a stand.
Thank you,
God. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to run this race with diligence. I'm not going to fornicate. God forgive. Somebody got to say, God forgive us.
Hallelujah.
But they know not what they did, God. But now since my eyes are open, God, that curse stops now. It stops today. It stops in this household. Because Joshua said, as for me in my house. Well, you know better, you do better. I know better now. I know to stand against the forces of the evil. I know to plead the blood. I know what's in my generational line. I'm still fighting. But I also know that because of obedience, because of faith, because of the power that it gives us, because of greater is he that's in me that's in the world, no matter what that generational curse may be, whether it be on a mother that's not have men come in a household, hallelujah, that prostitute herself, that use drugs, no matter what that generational curse may be, it can be broken by the blood of Jesus, by telling people to do better, by showing them example in your life. By not letting every Tom, Dick, and Harry sleeping with every Tom, Dick, and Harry and Susie that's out there. So I'm looking at my family, and I'm still fighting a spiritual warfare. But one thing about it is that they know, my family knows what I stand for, and I stand for Jesus because he's the one that will bless you because of your obedience. Not because you were disobedient and he has to call a curse. Because he will curse you if you don't keep his commandments. It's in the word. But he will bless you if you keep his commandments. And he says, if you keep my commandments, then you will show me that you love him. So today, who do you love? That's the question today, because, see, it's so evident. If you don't love God, and if you're not walking in the light and letting your light shine so men can see your good work, his good work in you, then you're running with the devil. And one thing I want to leave with you, light and darkness can't run together. Somebody in the family has to take a stand and say, for God I live, like Paul said, and for God I'll die. That's a deep commitment. Because when you make a covenant with God, he never breaks his oath, and neither should we. I'm going to stop right there, because I tell you, and I'm going to write a book on generational curses, because I want people to be freed. I want them to be, that's why I know God is so timely, because he dropped that in my spirit yesterday and I wrote it down. I said generational curses, because I studied with Bible Study Fellowship, and we're studying Genesis almost on the fourth chapter, and I did the study before, but he is revealing some things to us. The things that he'll curse, he cursed the ground, and he turned around and told the Israelites that when you cross over to the Jordan, hallelujah, see, we got to cross over some things. Hallelujah. No, we got to cross over some things, but we got a testimony that it was nobody but God help us do it. So when we cross over to some things, he said, now I'll take you to a land of milk and honey. Ha! Come on, somebody, because see, you defiled the land in the beginning, hallelujah, when they was in the Garden of Eden, when they gave everything flourishing in the Garden of Eden, which means park. Come on, somebody. And Eve is living, hallelujah, and Adam is reddish skin. Come on. So when that first Adam brought the sin in, the second Adam brought us deliverance and salvation. So therefore, we can live. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Everything passed away. And behold, everything become new. There's a newness in you that your family got to see, and that this people in the earth realm got to see, and especially God must see for you to be blessed. So let's touch and agree that we're going to break these generational curses in our families, starting with us. You know Michael Jackson said, I'm looking at the man in the mirror.
Looking at the man in the mirror.
And I'm asking him to change his ways. But you can't change your ways unless God be that change agent. Amen? I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to pin it right there. Don't know y'all. Amen.
Thank you so much, Evangelist Bernie Dorton. That's Evangelist Bernie Dorton. I tell you, this is her first time on the broadcast, but it's not my first time hearing this wonderful woman of God. So God bless you. Thank you for being with us on today. Truly, it's a blessing. We're going to Evangelist Lucille, and we want to hear what she has to say about these generational curses. Are they real? God bless you, Evangelist Lucille.
I don't know how you get yourself, Sister Adrian, to have me to come behind them flames of fire. But she, I'm telling you, she said it. And I have to totally be in agreement with her, because everything she said, you know, I can't talk too long because I am in transition. I only can say just a little bit, but I will say this, they are real. Just like you breathing, the breath of life. It isn't like your heart is pumping right now and I'm speaking on this line. That's how real. And I ain't talking to myself. So it's real. And the way to break those curses is through submission, humbleness to God. Daniel sought the Lord in behalf of that wicked nation. Israel was wicked. And he got down to this there in the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter. But this is individual. I'm going to make this personal. You really have to get yourself together here, because they're real, and it isn't somewhere in the family line. There's something that you know it or have done, and you may not have discovered it yet through the family line, but it pays. It really is good to just buckle yourself down and submit to God and seek him in prayer. Get saved. Get yourself somewhere and get saved and seek God. Yes, that's the key number one. how to break and get rid of these curses. It begins
mm-hmm.
with you. It don't begin with somebody else now. It begins
all
with
right.
you. You have to start. Don't look over there and talk about somebody else. She was something wrong with her and she got it like this. But it begins with starting with you. Get real. Just like the curses are real. These curses are real. Break them. Destroy through God, the word of God. Seek God for that new inner man, that new creature.
Hallelujah.
You see, you've got to come to the real identification that you are living in a sinful nature. If you have
yes,
not already received, if you have not already received the Lord and the fullness thereof of Him, then yes, you are. That's exactly where you are. And then your daddy isn't there. That's just the way it is, but you've got to get real with yourself and come to the grip and the realization and identification that you need God. You need to be cleansed completely, in and out. You need to be clean. David said, cleanse me, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He said, white as snow. So you need to be done. You need to be done all over again. You just have to be done because things are like we all was born. And sin and shaped in iniquity. Yeah, but I'm good. I'm a good girl. I ain't did nothing to nobody. I've heard this before. I'm good. I'm nice to people. And I don't know no more than that. No, you've got to be saved. You have to be redone, remade, remold. You have to be recreated. And you do that through the blood of Jesus. And that's the only way you're going to get rid of these curses. You can't go around assuming that you just all of that. Oh, no, I'm good. I ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm all right. Hey, I'm on your chest all out, nose up in the air. No, you're not. If you don't have God and you ain't seeking Him daily and seeking His face and His character and who He is and how He died for your sin, no, you ain't yet. You're all of that anymore. You need faith. You need God. And that's how you get rid of them curses. You come to the Lord. You first seek Him. And I ain't talking about seeking His physical faces because no man can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you seek Him, His spirit, His being, His character. Oh, my God. His DNA, everything about Him. You seek Him. And because He is the one, He is the one that's going to cleanse you, clean you. That's right. He will do that. But you must come to the first realization. Come out of that denial. So many people in this world, this Christian corporate world, the church, and in the world, are walking around in denial. They're going through identity crisis. That's where we come in. We must pray as intercessors. We have to pray for this world. We have to pray for these people that they will come to realize and identify that they need God and they need to be recreated, fresh, brand new, cleansed, purged. Oh, hallelujah. I just want to say that a little bit. I can go on too, but I don't have the time to do it, but praise the Lord for this little bit of space. God bless you.
Thank you. Amen. I tell you, when you get to thinking about the Lord and what He's done for you, you know, the Bible says when we see Him, we shall be like Him. But we shall see Him as He is. So, we got to get it together, honey. We all have some work to do. None of us have made it. We are a work in progress. None of us have our glorified body yet. So we are all subject to be tempted. Amen. But He didn't yield to that temptation. And we have to take on, as Evangelist Thornton said, and also Evangelist Lucilla, we have to be obedient. We have to know what God is calling for us. See, many of us, we try to identify with our neighbors. You know, we try to keep up with the Joneses. But you better see God for what his will is for your life, okay? Because he didn't make no two individuals alike. None of us are made alike, but all of us have been called into this marvelous life. All of us have an assignment, and our assignment is to witness. He said, after you receive power, hallelujah, he said, let me go. I got to go to this. Because you know what? We have to get it right, people of God. If we don't get it right, there won't be no excuses. There won't be no excuses. You know that everybody is trying to do another person's job. And, you know, God ain't gave it. He gave us according to our several abilities. And the devil is a lie. Right now, I'm going to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I know this scripture by heart, but I got all twisted just a minute. But he said that, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. He didn't say the pastor going to be a witness. He didn't say the evangelist going to be a witness. This is to all men and women, boys and girls. You're going to be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the other most parts of the earth. So there shouldn't be no fighting among the brethren. We need to be like Abraham told Lot. Brother, nephew, let there be no strife. There shouldn't be no bickering. There shouldn't be no arguing among one another. What are we in? What have we been brought into this kingdom for? We're here to win souls, and to win souls, the Bible says you must be wise. You can't win nobody, and God ain't going to use unclean vessels. Believe me, you might stand up there and preach and teach for a season, and you whoremonger it, but I can tell you this, you might get by, but you won't get away, baby, because it's only for a season. If you don't live right, God, the curse of the Lord is at your house. When you disobey the commandments of God, the curse is upon you. Amen. I ain't going no further. I'm going to go to Sister Doris, and then I see Evangelist Cummins on the line. We're going to give them a moment to give their take or give a remark or whatever the Lord leads them to say at this time. Evangelist Doris, God bless you. Evangelist Doris, she might have her phone on mute. Well, we're going to go to Evangelist Cummins.
Hello.
God bless,
yes.
Bless you. Evangelist Cummins.
God bless you, Evangelist, and all those that
praise
are on the
Lord.
Line.
Are
God
you
bless
able to
you
say anything?
Yes, God. You know, I was this thing the Lord gave you, generation curses. You know, they follow down from line to line, from bloodline to bloodline, from child, from mother, from father to son. But when Jesus came in and the grace came in, those curses can be broken. And one thing I thought about the evangelist was speaking, how she said that we have to take, just like Michael Jackson, the song, The Man in the Mirror, that's where it first starts at. Look at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Many times people will judge you about your children, about what your family is going through and what things have happened in your family. But you know what? Look at yourself. We can we can pray. We can take our children to church. You can take a horse to the water, but they say you cannot make him drink. And
go
other
ahead,
words, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart. What we have to do is look at ourselves and thank God that it's an individual fight. It's a fight.
Come
we
on.
Have to fight those things. When we get saved, those things we used to do are constantly coming before us. The very things we used to do, they're constantly coming before us. And we have to fight those things with the armor of God that God has given us. That those generation curses, we can stand, we can fast, we can pray, and ask for God to deliver us. Some people say because they have cancer in their lives, cancer in the bloodline, that I'm going to die. You don't have to die with cancer. You can ask the Lord to deliver you and break that curse because of Jesus and the name of Jesus and the blood. So we just bless the Lord today for generation curses that they can be broken. God bless you, Evangelist Bernard.
Thank you. Amen, amen. Are they real? Are they real? We asking the question. Evangelist Doris, God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you. I heard you the first time, but God knew that, I think. But I'm so happy for the woman of God. She was very powerful. I just connected with her teaching. I love it because she has the understanding. You know, this stuff is real. Like I was saying yesterday, a lot of churches don't even want to touch it. And that's why people keep suffering from generation to generation. Like the sister just said, we have the power in the blood of Jesus to say no more. You don't have to accept the doctor's report because your mother had cancer. You know, it frustrates me when I go to the hospital. They want to know your family history. What does it matter what my mother had? This is me. I am a new creation in God, in Jesus, and I don't care what my mother had. It's not my portion. So it's wonderful to hear women of God speaking on this subject, and I can't wait for the evangelist. I don't know if she's an evangelist or a pastor to write her book. I would definitely buy it. I would definitely be one of the people to buy it. And it's a powerful, powerful something we have to address. The children of God have to address this issue. A lot of things happening to our children will stop happening if there is an understanding. The Bible says my people perish because of lack of knowledge.
That's knowledge.
People are in the darkness. They don't know. They don't know. That's why they are getting in this trouble and things keep getting worse from generation to generation. We have to fight to break this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Truly, you know, I ask the Lord. Thank you, Evangelist Doris. I ask the Lord all the time, Lord, why you give me such difficult topics? And, you know, sometimes these topics, they make you search yourself. They make you examine yourself, as Evangelist Jordan say, take a generational examination. And you have to examine yourself, and that's what the Bible tells us to do. Examine ourselves and see if we need to be, as evangelists come and say, you know, we have not made it yet. We have not made it yet. And if we have people in our families and those in our circle of friends and associates, and we know they're struggling and dealing with some issues, and many times we are back away from them. You know, we so clean, we so holy. Well, it's your responsibility to minister to them. God ain't told you to tie them up. He didn't tell you to tie them up and throw them in your car and bring them home with you. But that's your time to minister. You have to minister to the people. And how do you minister to them? You have to minister to them with the same love that God has bestowed upon you. One day, we are always out there in the street. We are all out there because the Bible says all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So none of us have made it. None of us have made it. And it bothers me when we turn our nose up, those of us that have been in the Lord a little while, and we clean some of, you know, we got all this old other dogma where, you know, you wearing earrings and makeup and pants, you ain't saved. Well, the devil is a lie.
Amen.
None of us have a heaven. None of us have a hell to put anybody in. So quit judging folks. God said he is the only one that knows the heart. And you see the enemy, Satan, the devil, Lucifer, whatever you decide to call it, he don't know our heart. He don't even know our heart. He can only act on the spoken word. And the only way he can act on the spoken word is when he hears us speak it. When we tell our children they ain't going to be nothing. When we tell them they're going to be drug dealers. When we tell them they're going to be prostitutes. When we tell them they ain't nothing. The enemy hears us. He hears us, and that's when he comes in and he monopolizes, and he comes in and he takes those very words that we've spoken and he starts working against them. The spoke of the Bible say there is power. There is power in the tongue. We have life and death in this little member. This is a little member. Oh, but it's so deadly. Ah, it's full of poison. We can bless God with it, and we can curse. Hallelujah, but don't curse God. Don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost, because it'll be over with for you then. And that's about the only thing I see where God say he won't forgive. God is a forgiving God. He even gave Judas an opportunity to repent. Hallelujah, when he sold Christ out. But he said, for this cause were you even born. You were born to betray me. Do you know some of us were born to do what we do? That's why Jesus said, let the wheat grow with the tares. He said, don't, because if you try, you ever seen wheat growing with tares? It's an awful thing. And if you try to separate, you're going to damage something. You're going to mess up something. And that's why the Lord said, let the wheat grow with the tares. He said, don't bother. I'm going to do the separating. So that lets you know everybody that's sitting in a house of worship, I'll say a building, guess what? The Lord ain't never dealt with them. Some of them will be damned. Some are sitting there for damnation. But God said, leave them alone. Leave them alone. But you know, some of us walk in so much pride, Evangelist Darden. You know, we forget where God has brought us from. We forget when we was a cutthroat. We forget when we were prostitutes. We forget when we were lying. We forget when we were smoking coke.
Come on. Hallelujah.
We forget when we were smoking marijuana. And
come on now.
We forget when we were drinking alcohol 24/7. Some of us were functional alcoholics. Some of us were functional drug addicts. What are you saying, Sister Adrian? We had a habit, but we were able to function in that habit. Everybody can't function in their addictions. Some of us were functional addicts. That's right, functional addicts. Come in the church, praising the Lord on Sunday, and Monday we were sleeping with somebody else's husband.
When God
gave us the Holy Ghost, filled us with his spirit, then we walk around with our nose up in the air. We won't even praise the Lord. Oh, I don't want them sitting by me. Oh, no, them sinners. Well, you once was a sinner too.
Well, if it wasn't
for God, the grace of God, there go you again. God is the one that keep us, baby. God is a keeper. And quit saying what you won't do, because you don't know what you will do. But you better start saying, if it's the Lord's will, I pray I don't commit fornication. I pray I don't commit adultery. I pray I don't slap nobody today. I pray I won't lie today. I pray I won't go in somebody's store and steal something again today. If it's the Lord's will, quit thinking you are living in a glass house. None of us have made it. And all these self-righteous, holy people who think they're holier than thou and they judge people on their own you're sinner. The Bible says judge that you may not be judged. Hallelujah, living under bondage. Because you put in a pair of earrings in your ear, you're going to hell. The devil is a lie. I don't see that nowhere in the Bible. I'm going to judge the heart. And I'm going to judge every deed that you've done. Every deed that you've done is nowhere in there. He said, I'm going to judge you for your apparel. Show me some scripture where he said, I'm going to judge you because you put on a pair of pants. He's going to judge you when you Jesus said, with love have I borne this. And if I be lifted up, come on now, I will draw. So we ain't the people that's drawing. We ain't we ain't the one that draws. Jesus said, I added to the church daily. Jesus is the one that adds. You just go out and witness to the soul, and you just live the light. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and that they will glorify the Father. Because you can't work. Nobody can work unless God sent them. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Some went and some were sent. Hallelujah. Which one are you? Some were struck. The Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. Few are chosen. So God, do we think God somewhere sleeps? He said, I don't fall enough sleep. We think, sometimes we think we're getting over on one another. But you know what? You're a fool. Because you're not getting over on me. God see every dirty trick that you do me. God see when you thought about it. He saw you when you planned it. When you planned to deceive me. When you planned to lie to me. When you planned to go to my sister and brother and gossip about me, God saw it. So you're not, you're in trouble with God. You ain't in trouble with me. Because the Lord said, touch not my anointed. Now, when we say that, we think we're talking about the pastor. But that is not so. When he said, touch my anointed, that means anybody that God has ordained, anybody that he has anointed, anybody he has called, and chosen as his. You are God's anointed. He ain't just talking, but the pastors, they'll use that for them. No, touch not mine anointed. Don't touch the unclean thing. Touch not my servant. That's what God is saying. Don't touch my servant. The pastor is only a servant, people of God. We better quit worshiping these pastors. And I say it every day. Stop worshiping the pastor and start worshiping the master. Because the master is the one that has your destiny. The master is the one that's going to call your name. The master is the one that have your name written in the Lamb Book of Life, not your pastor. And I'm not speaking disrespect, and I'm not dishonoring no leader, but you better know who you're serving. I'm not serving the pastor. I'm serving the master. And God said, have no other gods before me. When you put these men and these women above God, they become your idol. They become your God. And you're going to take instructions for them. The Bible also say in my closing, obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your soul. Obey them. But don't worship them, because they ain't God. And if you begin to worship them, then you are serving an idol. And that's when the curse come upon you, because God told the children of Israel, have no other gods before me. He said, I'm going to bless you in the city, and I'm going to bless you in the field. Read the first and second part of Deuteronomy 28. There's cursing. The first part of that chapter, and the second part, he turned those curses, he turned the blessing, the blessings is in the first part, and the latter part is the cursings. So he's told the children of Israel, if you don't obey me, if you don't keep my commandments, if you don't uphold my statute, he said, these cursings is going to be upon you. Where I told you I was going to bless you in the field and I was going to bless you in the city, he said, now I'm going to turn it around and I'm going to curse you in the field and I'm going to curse you in the city. I rest my case. Hallelujah. Generational curses. Are they real? Amen. We're going, but I want to say to you all before we leave today, please, please, we're looking for you on December 7th and 8th for our True Fellowship Conference that will be hosted in Stockton, California at Dr. Kenneth Burford's build his church, Christ Redeeming Center, 2281 East Main Street. We would love to have it. We're just going to have a good, wonderful, Holy Ghost good time. Amen. So we invite you to come. We will have our advertisement hopefully by the end of the week. So we will have that on Facebook. We will send you a formal a flyer and an invitation letter. Some of you have already gotten them. So please come out and fellowship with us in this event. I don't care if you're a Muslim. Hallelujah. And you call on Allah for your God. We call, and let every man call on their God, because that's what we're going to be doing, okay? So we invite all to come. Amen. The lame, the cripple, whatever you are, come. If you can make it to the house of God, I tell you, you will be blessed. Amen. So we're going to, we're just so thankful again for Evangelist Darden being with us on today, and I'm going to let her have the final comments and ask her to close us out with prayer. It's a wonderful thing when sisters and brothers, the Bible says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. None of us trying to get no fight. None of us trying to get no flats or no wars. We're working for the kingdom. And God has said, behold, I come quickly, and I'm going to have my reward with you. That's what I'm working for. I'm working for Jesus to come. And I know when he has his reward with him, I want my name to be on that list. Hey, you know what, Shia? Hallelujah. So, Evangelist Darden, again, thank you for being with us. We're going to let you have the final remarks and close us on out with
Well, in summation of generational curses, I think we should look to the hill from which cometh our help, and our help cometh from the Lord. So if we have an objective in the forefront of our mind that we're tearing down strongholds each and every day of our lives to curse the curse and put it up under our feet, we do have the power. So you have the power to overcome the curse. You got to recognize it, and the curse might be just in you. Amen. So begin with yourself. Examine yourself. Just like the sister said about alcoholism and prostitution, all that stuff, which Paul said, with what you once were, amen. So we can't look at all the other people that's doing. I mean, we see it, and we're there to help and to minister, but we can't down them for their fleshly desires. They got to see the light in us. And if we're not showing them any light, if we're not reaching out and helping him, even to our family members that have fallen so many times, we still got to pray. We got to pray. We got to fast. We got to come together as a body of Christ, pushing back the hours of darkness and lifting up the name of Jesus. My friend told me, she said, we cannot allow to be silent. We don't have the right to remain silent. You know, when you're arrested by the policeman, they say you have the right to remain silent. No, as a God-fearing woman and man of God, you do not have the right to remain silent. You have to, you must tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord and how he broke that curse in your life. That's how we push back the areas of darkness and the kingdom of darkness. So with that being said, we're uniting together and touching and agreeing that we have to recognize that there is a curse, first of all, and then implement the word of God in our life to break that curse until God comes to redeem us at the second coming of Christ. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, in the name of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we come to you, God, thanking you for this Blog Talk Radio. For you bringing it to our mindset, but you said, let the mind of you be as in Christ Jesus. So first of all, it starts in our minds, God. And we want you to regulate our minds, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Not to be conformed of this world, but be transformed in the renewing of our mind. The old thing we used to do, we wanted to push it back. It surpasses us, God, because we press towards the mark of the higher calling, which is in Christ Jesus. You're calling us to a new destiny in you, oh God. You've given us the power and authority.
Hallelujah.
To tread over serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, they no longer can hold us bound and in chains. Hallelujah. Because you said when we loose on heaven, we loose on earth. When we bound on heaven, we bound on earth. We bind those generational curses in the name of Jesus. They no longer can hold us back, oh God, because you released us by the blood of Jesus. And God, we're grateful and we're thankful for that in the mighty name of Jesus, that it was the blood that released us. Hallelujah. It was the blood that left the shed the shackles free and the captives free. It was the blood that released all those demonic forces in our lives, oh God. And we're new in you, God, and we recognize that we're striving each and every day to be Christ-like. Hallelujah. And for that reason, God, you said you've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed beg for bread. Hallelujah. So in that being said, we want to be righteous. We want to be whole in you, oh God. No affliction, no condemnation, God. We want to walk in the Spirit of God, because there's life in the Spirit of God. So let the Holy Ghost that you already endowed in us lead us, hallelujah, on that path of righteousness for your name's sake, oh God. And in that thing, we give you the glory, we give you the praise. God, we declare and decree the curses are broken in our families and in our lives in the name of Jesus. They have no power or authority in us, oh God, because greater is he that's in me that's in the world, oh God. So let us go and run this race with patience, hallelujah, swiftly, hallelujah, because you said they, hallelujah, that wait upon the Lord, you'll renew our strength. Do us, hallelujah, our mind, our hearts, our body, and our soul to do thus what the Lord said, the will of God. Hallelujah. And we give you the glory, hallelujah. Let us be obedient, oh God. We give you the glory. We give you the praise, because it all belongs to you. And the people of God always say, amen, and it is so, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you all once again. I forgot an announcement, an Empowering Women Convention with Evangelist Kalu Walters, and that church is Victory Christian Ministries, and that's located at 21222 Mission Boulevard, and that will be this weekend, October the 12th, 13th, and 14th in Hayward, California, and Evangelist Doris and myself will be speaking in this women's conference. So if you're in the Bay Area, you live anywhere close and you like to come, the services will be Friday evening and Saturday evening at 6 p.m. And you can contact Evangelist Walters for more information at area code 510-827-9212. Again, that address is 21222 Mission Boulevard in Hayward, California, and the name of the church is Victory Christian Ministry. Amen. So God bless you all. Have a glorious and beautiful day. And remember to share this gospel with somebody. God bless you all. Love you much. Amen. How many choosing to worship God?
For so long I was silent. For so long I did not have a song of praise. Depression filled my days and clouds blocked my way. But there was a voice speaking to me, awaking the passion so quiet in me, in me. So still in me. Give up, no. I choose to worship right now. My mind is made up. Is that your voice calling me into that secret place?
I need everybody in here to help me do it right now. Come on.
He's healing me. He's healing me. I'm gonna worship.
Come on, I need you to lift yourself up out of that mess that you're in right now. Come on. Some of you have been down so long. Come on, make up your mind right now. I can't lay here and die. I gotta seek after him. I hear his voice calling me right now.
He's healing me. I'm
coming to you broken tonight. I'm coming to you wounded tonight. I'm coming to you right now. I need your presence in my life.
I'm
going to worship. Yes, I am. He's healing me.
Heal me. I'm going to worship.
Oh, he's healing me. Yes, he is.
Heal me. I'm going to worship.
I'm going to worship you. Come on, to bless the Lord at all times.
My heart is
long for this moment with thee.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.